Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. Sorry about last week. Had something come up that I had tend to. What the hell? Anyway, but I'm back. So this weekend we was at Talladega, and we're going to Dover. I'm not used to this new Dover, new schedule. I would have had the Dover people on. It's been a couple of years since I haven't, so they might be mad at me. But maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We had a crazy weekend in racing. We've had NHRA back in action down in Houston. And that's going to be their final event there. Houston, been around, they've been racing there for quite a number of years, ever since I've gotten into this thing. So it's just one of those deals where, you know, you hate to see the end of an era. And it happened with Englishtown, which was one of the iconic tracks of the NHRA. But who knows what happened there, where, you know, you have, you're in an area with a track and you generate a lot of noise, and then they start building up around there, and then the residents start complaining about the noise. It's like, you know, they were there first. You moved to where there is a drag strip. Now, of course, they wound up, I guess, you know, because they have racing at Englishtown every weekend, whether it's motocross or, you know, NHRA would be there once a year. And that's when I went there. So I guess it was one of the last three, one of the last events, because once I moved down here is when they decided to do away with it. But now Houston is gone by the wayside. And I know when Englishtown closed, they moved, they brought the event to Virginia International Raceway, which is at Danville, which is really not too far from here. So good for VIR, which is basically a road course. You know, you can put a drag strip anywhere. It's only a, maybe between entry, race length, and run out for slowing down, you might be looking at maybe a half to three quarters of a mile. But we could chalk Houston up for going by the wayside. So let's see what happened. In the top fuel division, it comes down to Justin Ashley, our guest from a couple weeks ago, and Brittany Force. Brittany hasn't been on in a while, but, you know, she's still a favorite of mine because when you're able to get them on the show over the course of time, then, you know, we're talking a few times a year, every year for a good 5 or 6 years. As a matter of fact, their PR rep who handled them back then is now the one handling Justin Ashley and Camry Caruso and Josh Hart. Josh Hart was in this one as well. Let's see where he was. There he was. Ah, poor guy. Qualified 15th. Round one up against Brittany Force, so we know where that went. He actually got her off the tree by a hundredth of a second, but she had better grip. Got down the track with a 374 flat. And he lost traction, went up with a 492 with a 5. So, sorry, Josh. Brittany then goes to round two against Sean Langdon. Believe it or not, when he drove for Alan Abbey, he was on the show. Back in my WNJC days. And again, 4/100ths of a second, Langdon, 060. Brittany, 103. But I guess her lane choices have been working because she went out with a 377 with a 3. And again, he had issues with a 558 with a 9. And I don't care how good of a run you got, that's not going to help. In the semis, she's up against Billy Torrance, who's the father of Steve Torrance, who's the defending champ. Steve's usually pretty good there, and you can't count him out either. But off the tree together, 084. But his 392 was good, but not as good as her 384. So she moves on to the finals. And Justin Ashley, number 4 qualifier. Has his journey, of course, I was talking about Steve Torrance, number 1 qualifier. He goes all the way to the semis, so I guess who has to race him in the semis? Our other finalist, Justin Ashley. So Ashley with an 046, Doug Foley with an 092. Not even close there. 374 for Ashley, 507 for Foley. Up against Austin Prock in this round 2. Austin Prock beat former teammate Alex Laughlin. Yeah, number 5 qualifier. And then the second round there, Prock with a 380 with a 3. Wouldn't have been good enough to be Justin Ashley with a 379 with a 2, except for the fact that Ashley's 059 didn't get out as quick as Austin Prock with a 006 minus. So he jumped the light, which caused it disqualification. And probably if he was just a hair slower on the tree and got it on that positive side, he might have got a whole shot win out of it. We're talking 0.01 of a second difference on the ET. Well, no, we'll call it. We'll call it a whole 1/100th of a second because it was 80 with a 3 to 79 with a 2, so. We'll give it that. And then in the semis, up against Steve Torrance. Close one there, 087 with a 377 with an 8 for Torrance. Pretty good numbers, but Ashley with a 051 with a 376. So he beat him off the tree. He beat him off and beat him down the track, setting the stage for. You got it. The run for the Wally. Justin Ashley with an 074, which is normal for Top Fuel. And funny car, for some reason, the Nitro car's reaction time isn't as quick as the Pro Stocks and the Pro Stock bikes. But Brittany, 3/100ths faster, off the light with an 041. And good thing, because it's a hole shot. She got a 376 with a 7. Which is actually 4/1000ths of a second slower than Justin Ashley's ET. So that gives Brittany the Wally and Justin, our guest from a couple weeks back, the runner-up. Low ET with a 371 was Torrance. Best reaction, Mike Salinas with an 037. Yeah, that's good there. Top speed, Brittany Force. 330.47 miles per hour. Funny car. Ooh, I'm liking this. Had the wife do some computer maintenance, and she's good at this crap. The finals come down to Matt Hagen and Bob Bodie. Now, Matt Hagen used to drive for Don Schumacher. But I guess Big Don decided to thin the herd out because Ron Capps used to drive for him. He's now an owner-driver. Matt Hagen used to drive for him. He's now a driver for Tony Stewart Racing. That's right. Because Tony Stewart got into watching drag racing, he might have been in Houston. Let's see where the misses is. Leah Pruitt qualified seventh. Didn't get past Sean Langdon in round one. It's a shame. They both had pretty even runs, but Tony got married to Leah Pruitt, who was Leah Pritchett. Then she went back to Leah Pruitt. And now she's Leah Stewart. Is she Pritchett Stewart or Pruitt Stewart? Anyway, doesn't matter. But he decided to form an NHRA competitive team with in the Nitro division. So he obviously has a car for wifey and decided to say, who can I get to run the funny car? So he grabbed a former champ and Caps was a former champ as well, but maybe Caps decided to say, hey, I'll go on my own, but he went with Matt Hagen. So Matt Hagen and his run to the finales was against Ron Caps, who qualified number one. He had no competition there, so he advances right to the semis. I mean, the round two. Matt Hagen was up against, who qualified eighth, was up against number nine qualifier, John Force. So Force with a 33, Hagen with a 56. Obviously, Hagen with a 395 made it up the difference between Force's 401, setting stage for round two against Ronnie Capps. .051 off the light for Hagen, .073 for Capps. These guys used to be teammates. But Hagen with a 393 with a 3, and Caps with a 801 with a 7. Just didn't quite get her done. As a matter of fact, when it's, you know, something mechanical happened, when it's more than 5 seconds apart. All right, up against the semis, it's Matt Hagen against J.R. Todd. Hagen with an 077. Off the light faster was Todd with an 051, but Hagen had a clean run with a 393. Todd, again, something went wrong, 10.85. Let's see, Bob Bodie qualified 11th up against Alexis DeJoria. Not a good day for her. 102 off the tree for Bodie, 111 for Alexis. There wasn't really that much difference there, but Bodie with a 395 with a 7, and Alexis with a 99.99. So she blew up and had enough momentum to coast down the track. That's pretty much maxing out the clock there. Round two, up against number three qualifier, Cruz Pedregon. Pedregon 073, Bodie 083. But, again, the ET, this one went Bodie's favor, 399 with a 1, Pedregon 403 with a 0. Then Bodie against Chad Green, 069 for Green, 082 for Bodie, 416 for Green. Not quick enough, Bodie 403 with a 4. In the finals, it was Bob Bodie with a 074. Matt Hagen with an 058. You know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah, maybe not. Bodie 404 with a 6. Quick, but not quick enough. Hagen 398 with a 2. So Hagen gets his second Wally for Stuart Haas, but it's just Stuart Racing. It's Haas is in the NASCAR side. I'm surprised Tony don't have an Indy car. But that's neither here nor there. All righty. Number one qualifier. This was a good run, and I can't complain because I see great things happening with this person. Camry Caruso, our guest. That's right, our guest from a couple weeks ago. Maybe a month ago now. She's getting the hang of the pro stock, and it's going to be scary. Because she made history with a fellow competitor on Sunday. Erica Enders, our pal from back in the day, at her home track. Number two qualifier. In the finals together. So, a first all-female final in the pro stock division. That's history. And then it comes down to who did what. All right, let's follow our most recent guest. Camry Caruso up against Fernando Cuadra. Of course, again, she held on to the number one qualifying spot. I know this girl's going to go places. I could see just how she is, and, you know, we've had her on. We'll have her on again. She had an 079. Nothing to brag about off the light. But her competitor, Fernando, went 002 with a minus, so he disqualified. He red-lit the clock. Would he have probably would have won that round because her 660 with a 9 was a little better than his 662 with a 1. So poor Fernando fell by the wayside. In round two, up against the venerable Bo Butner. Bo here is no stranger. He's won a championship. Or two. He might have won two. I'm not really sure. But her 051 to his 046 was pretty close. We're talking minute numbers here. But she had the 662 with a 4, and he had a 977 with a 1. So he had some issues getting down the track where she didn't. Then up against somebody who didn't want to be that guy, Greg Anderson, 7-time champ Greg Anderson. Anderson with an 040, Camry with an 011. Talk about she's getting what. If she's getting that reaction time down, she's going to be dangerous. And in this round, she was. Because Anderson had an 040. His ET was a 657 with an 8. She's consistent with the 66, but it was a 660 with a 7. But that 011 gave her the whole shot win and moved her into the finals against the number two qualifier, 4-time champion, Erica Enders. Erica's no slouch. She's looks like she's getting her game back after a couple of, what do we say, lapses. Whether it was getting the car or something mental, personal. You know, you never know what goes on in these private lives of these people. But she was having reaction time issues, which is something she never really had when she was running for champ, when she was winning championships. But anyway, number two, up against Christian Quadra. How ironic. The number one qualifier and the number two qualifier, which is up against your number, the one will go up against the number 16 qualifier. Two will go in the 15 qualifier, who happened to be Christian Quadra. Yes, he's related to Fernando Quadra. But Erica with an O, 22. Quadra with an O, 30. 8/1000 better for Erica. And a 657 with an 8 versus Quadra 658 with a 7. Had those two numbers been reversed, the 87 and the 78, and they were even, Erica would have got it just by that 0.008 of a second. But she got the ET better, too, on the round two up against Matt Hartford. 0.021 for Erica, 6.59 with an 8. 0.060 for Hartford, 6.58 with a 7. Whole shot there. The 1/100 flip advantage that Hartford had on the ET was erased by his 4/100th of a second disadvantage off the light. Let's see where that comes in handy. 0.035 in the semis for Erica Enders against Kyle Koretsky. He had an 0.027, but his 6.63 was too big of a gap for Erica's 6.59, so no hole shot for Koretsky. Erica takes the win, and then we set the stage for our final round. Here's how it goes. The light went yellow before it went green. As soon as it hits that yellow, you jump on it. Camry was a little quicker, not younger. No offense, Erica, but you know I love you. Camry 030, Erica 053, but Camry's been holding her 662s or 660s, and Erica had her 656. So Erica did get her on the ET to drive that bitch back, as hashtag with her. Camry, congratulations. You made history. I know you're going to be getting your first Wally soon. I think it'll be before this season's out. Low ET of the event, 6.56 with an 8, done in the final round by Erica Enders. Best reaction time, an 0.011, Camry Caruso. Top speed at 210.24 mile an hour in that final round for the Wally, Erica Enders. So all the categories were dominated by Enders Caruso. Both are driving Chevys. Camry's dad don't like Fords. But what do you want me to tell you? In the pro stock motorcycle, number one qualifier, Karen Stouffer. But it came down to a battle between Matt Smith and Steve Johnson. Smith was number five, so he took out Kelly Klontz. Kelly with an 0.060. Matt with an 0.074, but the ET 681 versus 696, give it to Smith. Move him into round two against Chris Bostic. 0.074 for Smith, 0.041 for Bostic. Again, the reaction time didn't help. Smith with a 693. Bostic with a 705. Not enough to make the difference. In the semis, it's Karen Stoffer versus Matt Smith. 018 for Karen. 043 for Smith, but no time. So she got the green and blowed up. Smith, 698 with an 8. Really didn't have to push it. Makes it to the final round. Steve Johnson, on the other hand, number 2 qualifier. 099 versus an 024 against number 15 qualifier Michael Ray in the round 1. But Steve Johnson had a 671. Ray had a 692. Johnson moves on up against James Underdahl. Johnson 038, Underdahl 029. Talking a whole 100th of a second difference, but not enough because Johnson had a 671 and Underdahl was a 689. Had it been a 79, he might have had a shot, but I think he would have had a shot. In the semis, Johnson makes it up against number 3 qualifier, Eddie Krawick. Krawick driving for Vance Hines Suzuki. Used to be Harley, but now they got Angel Sampe driving the Suzuki. And that seems to be where they started, which kind of makes you wonder. But anyway, Eddie Krawick with the 046. Steve Johnson with the 065. Krawick with a 680. Johnson with a 676. That would be 684 with an 8, and that would be, yeah, still would have gave it to him. Too big a gap there. Johnson does take the, he seems to have the slower reaction, but the better ET. So on to the finals against Matt Smith. Here's where it's interesting. .032 for Smith, .047. Again, a slow reaction time for Steve Johnson. Defending champ Matt Smith, a 681 with a 1. But Johnson, for the better ET, that makes up for the difference. We're talking a whole tenth of a second, just about. So that 100th of a second slower reaction time didn't come into play. Johnson with a 672 takes the Wally. So Matt Smith, runner-up. Steve Johnson, 671, low ET. The best reaction time, though, was Joey Gladstone with a 006. Let's check the results here. I mean, the standings are on the results. Standings, there we go. Okay, guess where we're going this weekend. ZMAX 4 Wide Nationals. Let's check our girl Camry out for her second 4 Wides. It was the first one under her belt ever. I think I clicked too many times and confused. So history made at Houston with two ladies. The Virginia Nationals, May 13th at Richmond. All righty. So right now in top fuel, Brittany Force leads Steve Torrance by 32 points. Not out of the woods. So then we got Justin Ashley in third, 53 back. So he's got a shot. Our former guest has a shot at the big Wally. All the trophies in NHRA are the same. They're all the same thing, which is Wally Parks standing with a tire. And then the championship trophies is a bigger version of that and a fatter paycheck. But that's neither here nor there. Mike Salinas, fourth. Clay Milliken, fifth. Austin Prock, sixth. Tony Schumacher, the Sarge. The Sarge. You haven't heard much from the Sarge. Seventh. He's in the top ten, though. Josh Hart, eighth. Doug Kalita, ninth. And Antron Brown is on that bubble with a three-point advantage over Sean Langdon. All righty. Let's take the funny car. Matt Hagen leads Robert Height in the points. There's a 60-point gap there, so that's a couple of events to make that ground up. So not only is Hagen got the first two wins for Stewart Racing, he may get the first championship for Stewart Racing in the first season that Stewart Racing competes. But he's still got a... This is only event number 5 of 22, so we still got a ways to go. The final six is the countdown, so everything reseats. Robert Height in second. Ronnie Capps in third at 87 back. And they're the three closest ones, but Cruz Pedregon in fourth, John Force in fifth, J.R. Todd sixth, Alexis DeJoria seventh, Chad Green eighth, Bob Taska ninth, and Tim Wilkerson is in your 10th spot. And he's got a 31-point lead over Blake Alexander in 11th. So the only Fords in there are Taska and Wilkerson. And
Robotics really gives us a unique opportunity to deal with issues.
Hey, quit playing stuff. I hate when stuff pops up. I couldn't need the sound. In the pro stock, who's got it? I think Erica should be up there. Yes, Erica Enders has a 82-point lead over Aaron Stanfield. That's a big gap. Kyle Koretsky, third, 126 back. Dallas Glenn, fourth. Fifth, Mason McGahey. Fifth, Greg Anderson, excuse me. Sixth, Mason McGahey. Our girl Camry's up to seventh. She was 10th early. She's climbing that ladder. Bo Butner, eighth. Troy Coughlin Jr., ninth, and Roger Brogdon rounds out your top 10. But 3 points back in 11th is Christian Quadra. So there might be some bubble hopping there before the end of the season. Okay. Pro Stock Motorcycle. We get the motorcycle. Motorcycle. Doo-doo-doo. We got Karen Stouffer leading the points. That's pretty good. Steve Johnson, 18 back in second. Angie Smith in third, 63 back. Eddie Krawick in fourth, 64 back. Tied for fifth is Matt Smith and Joey Gladstone at 67 back. Jerry Savoie, seventh. 89 back. I mean, that's a tight field for your top 10. Angel Sampay in 8th. And Jimmy Underdahl in 9th. They're tied in points. They're 108. They got 83 apiece. Tied 108 out. And 82 points with 109 behind is Mark Ingvarsson in your 10th spot. And then again, Chris Bostic just below the bubble line, 1 point behind Ingvarsson. Ingvarsson is a Swedish guy. Yeah, we're Swedish. All righty. Okay, ARCA in action as well. The General Tire 200 at Talladega. who takes the win there. It is Nick Sanchez, Brett Holmes second, Corey Hine third, Thad Moffitt fourth, Gus Dean is fifth, Raha Karuth. I see an asterisk. That's got to be a rookie. Is sixth, Drew Dollar seventh, Ryan Huff eighth, Parker Chase ninth, and Max Gutierrez rounds out your top ten. In 12th, Amber Balcane. I saw her. She was posting on Facebook. So she got a 12th spot out of that after starting 30th. Good job. Tony Bridinger and the other lady in the field. Finished 24th, started 25th. And the woman, which but she was 20 laps down, so. There were how many cars on the lead lap? 18. Let's check the standings. Standings. Arca Menards. They called the Menards East and the Menards West. Used to be the K&N East and the K&N West, but NASCAR absorbed Arca, so. All right, you're... Point standings as they are now, it's Raja Karuth. But that thing had a rookie star. Three races, one top five, two top tens. Points, 112. 1 point behind him is Daniel Dye. 4 points back is Nick Sanchez, your recent winner. Parker Chase, 11 back and forth. Corey Haim, 5th. Tony Bridinger, believe it or not, is 28 back and 6th. Gus Dean in 7th, 34 back, 4 behind him. Amber Balcane, and she's a Canadian girl, like Sarah Cornett-Ching. I don't see much from her. She had a wicked wreck in the ARCA series, and I think she had been running local tracks again, but she needed to get back in there. And where was I? Okay, ninth, Ryan Huff, and the top 10 in points is Andy Jankowiak, 43 back. So there's a tight points field for 10 vehicles. So, I want to see them two ladies climb that ladder. You got to realize Talladega is a lot different than what the rest of the series runs. I know the series runs Pocono, and they run some dirt and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, let's check out our Xfinity series. It came down to a battle between the irony of this is Jeffrey Earnhardt qualified the pole, driving for Richard Childress in the number 3 Chevy. Jeffrey Earnhardt hasn't had a good ride ever. I know, I've interviewed him enough, both in person and on the show as a call-in. He lands this ride. What happens? He qualifies the pole. So he led one time for 10 laps, which is the first 10 laps. Then, all you know, Talladega being what it is, everybody teams up and, you know, goes from there. So with all the hoopla, with Earnhardt getting the pole, it comes down to about the third overtime. Now, going into these overtimes, Jeffrey wasn't in the top 10, or he might have just been in the top 10. He was back a little bit. And one over Tom led the one wreck. Next one, you know, yellows breed yellows. So they just left it, you know. As long as nobody takes that white flag before the yellow, they'll start them again. And that's what happened. So it turns out that as they were racing for the finish line on the third overtime, fuel was coming into a question and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, it was Noah Gragson taking the checkered flag. He's already locked in the playoffs from a prior win. Jeffrey Earnhardt didn't disappoint in that Childress car, finishing second. A.J. Allmendinger was third. Ryan Sieg fourth. Landon Castle fifth. Anthony Alfredo sixth. Riley Herb seventh. Eighth, Joe Graff Jr. Myatt Snyder ninth. And Brett Moffitt rounds out your top ten. Now, the irony of Jeffrey Earnhardt finishing second in the three car, driving for Richard Childress, who's his granddaddy. Dale Earnhardt, who drove the three car, it's the Xfinity series, but besides the point. So, here's the thing. Who does Noah Gragson drive for? Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. chose to go with Rick Hendrick after the dissolvement of DEI. DEI did have ties with Childress because obviously Dale Earnhardt Inc. was owned by Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Teresa Earnhardt. Well, obviously, being Dale Jr. wasn't one of Teresa's kids. He felt like he had no allegiance to her. And I think she got a little cranky or whatever. But anyway, so he went with Childress. So, of course, Dale Sr. did have his own Xfinity Series teams where he, you know, Dale Jr. got his start and all that kind of stuff. My first interview with Dale Jr. was when he drove in the Xfinity Series. I didn't even recognize him. He came in looking like with a backwards hat on, slumped over, and I just thought he was some fan, and he walks in and walks out in his race suit. But, hey, you know. So, you know, got the interview because I was sitting outside of his hauler. But that's neither here nor there. So you have Dale Sr.'s owner up against Dale Jr. and his driver. So his driver was competing against his dad's owner with his nephew behind the wheel. Now, hopefully, I mean, the name Earnhardt and Talladega, you know, it's kind of like, duh. It's like Earnhardt and Daytona. I think Dale Sr. won just about every July Daytona race you could think. He's got had numerous July Daytona wins, and only his biggest one was trying to break the 500, and he finally did that. Neither here nor there. But there you have the irony of the Childress Earnhardt versus the Earnhardt Gragson pairings there. So the younger Earnhardt team takes the win and beat his daddy's team with his nephew driving the car. But, you know, it turned out well. Hopefully he'll keep Jeffrey in the car for a while and you know, having a good finish there could translate to other ones. Like I said, Jeffrey Earnhardt has never been in a good car that I can recall. When he has, I think he's been in a decent car and finished decently. But driving for the Childress, then he's shown that he can keep it up front. All right. After all that, like I said, Allmendinger was third, Ryan Sieg fourth. Landon Castle, fifth. Anthony Alfredo, sixth. Riley Herb, seventh. Joe Graff, eighth. Myatt Snyder, ninth. And Brett Moffitt was your top 10. Okay, average speed, 123.24. Margin of victory, 0.13 seconds. Race, 2 hours, 40 minutes. It was Gregson's seventh Xfinity Series victory. Failed to qualify. Natalie Decker, Jesse Iwuji, and C.J. McLaughlin. 10 cautions for 39 laps. Yes, stage conclusions as well. 25 lead changes amongst 14 drivers. Apparently, Jeffrey Earnhardt, Austin Hill led the most laps. Allgaier led the second most, 13, and Earnhardt 10. There's a stage one, 4 laps. Stage two was coincided with a wreck, so there was incident involved, one on that. And the big one, I guess, there was two good size ones. One was the end, right before the end of stage two with 6 cars and then 7 cars for lap 105. Oh, forgot to check the points. The points. Where are the points? There are the points. So, Allmendinger leads the points over Gregson by 40. Wow. Ty Gibbs, third. Josh Berry, fourth. Brandon Jones, fifth. Let's go, Brandon. The top three have wins, so they're locked in. Brandon Jones in fifth has a win. Allgaier, seventh. Sixth. Ryan Sieg, seventh. Sam Mayer, eighth. Austin Hill, ninth. Has a win. 10th, Riley Herbst. Landon Castle, 11th. Daniel Hemric is your last playoff contender. And he's got a 10-point lead over 13th. So let's take Gregson winning.
Dance. Oh, my. That's rough. Damn, Jenna. Wow. It was tight. It was a little tight. Yeah.
All right. We are now joined by our Dash for Cash winner, driver of the number 16 Chevrolet for Colleague Racing. We're going to start with questions. If you have a question, raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic to you. Jenna in the front.
All right, Jenna. Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me. You said something on your radio, I guess, before the first overtime, like you were toast or over it. Or you know,
I'm always over it here. Cal, is this on?
Yeah, back away from it.
How about this? Yeah? Or I can yell. It doesn't matter. No, what I was saying was the car handled pretty good, but like we get about halfway down the straightaway and it just kind of run out of speed. So a lot of those guys, the junior cars, especially when the junior cars were behind me, but, you know, even Sieg, like they could get to my bumper, and usually, you know, they kind of get to your bumper and they push and you kind of get away. Well, we never get away, so they could just stick to the bumper, and it just made it really hard to hold on to, and that was kind of what I was referencing was I was like, I don't know how to block these guys, because the one time Sam had a run on me, and he was pushing me so hard, I went to defend, and it was like, if I keep turning, I'm crashing. And so I just kind of knew that it was going to be tough to make a move like that if it was in that scenario. And that's kind of what happened on that last restart. I kind of checked up because I didn't know if Justin was laying back. And, you know, by the rules, you can't launch before him. I didn't realize he was running out of fuel. So that allowed Noah to get that big run and get in front of me. Well, I mean, I kept backing up to try to get a run. And, like, we never could really get the run. And then, obviously, Jeffrey had a run and all that. And then it was just kind of hanging on. So I always kind of knew if it kind of came down to needing a push or...
Who were they talking to? Ah, it was AJ and Gregson. Okay, they went to AJ first. Anyway, things were getting close on time. On the cup side, it was Ross Chastain led one time for one lap. No stage wins at all. Good old restarts, eh? There was a good bit there, too. Austin Dillon, second. There's the three car, finishing second. Both races owned by Richard Childress. Yep. Kyle Busch, third. Kyle Larson, fourth. Martin Truex, fifth. Eric Jones, sixth. Chase Elliott, seventh. Michael McDowell, eighth. Ninth, Alex Bowman. And tenth was Kevin Harvick. And give you the... points, but we'll just go right to the winner, Ross Chastain, with Justin Marks and, well, that's a whole hour.
Hey, Rian, do you mind to just start the mic and we'll hold it off? All right, testing 1, 2, 1, 2, you guys got me? All good? All right, we're going to get started with our post-race press conference here at Talladega Super Speedway at the Geico 500 with our race-winning crew chief, Phil Spurgeon. And Phil
Spurgeon, boy, that's a funny name. All right, let's go do the points real quick. Chase Elliott is your points leader. Ryan Blaney, second. 21 back. William Byron, third. Kyle Busch, fourth. Alex Bowman, fifth. Sixth, Joey Logano. Seventh, Kyle Larson. Martin Truex, eighth. Ross Chastain, ninth. Eric Amarola, tenth. Kevin Harvick, 11th. Chase Briscoe, 12th. Austin Dillon, 13th. Christopher Bell, 14th. Tyler Reddick, 15th. And on the bubble is Austin Cindric. But Michael McDowell... Oh, Denny Hamlin is 24th, and he's got to win, so he's moved up. I thought Michael McDowell won the... That was last year. All right. Anyway, this weekend we're going to the Monster Mile. For... Well, this is early in the year. We have the A-Game 200 on Saturday at 1:30 on Fox Sports 1. And Sunday, the Duramax Dryden 400 on Fox Sports 1 at 3 p.m. So, there you have it. K and Arca Menards East will be your Friday race. No truck series this week. So Well, there you have it. I'm your Vinny B. What a busy weekend in racing we had. Next week, we'll see what happens, if it's busy or not. So good day and good racing. We'll see you all next week. Bye now.